Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We're continuing our conversation today on care for older adults, especially when it comes to memory care. So we'll continue our conversation with some of our RSOs, Recognized Service Organizations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to head to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Hope you can join us for these conversations as we continue to learn more and find out about the resources available for our older adults, our loved ones who are aging as well. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org and look for the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining us by phone today, Mr. Alex Kiefer. He's the CEO of Lutheran Life Villages in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Alex, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us this morning. Looking forward to learning about Lutheran Life Villages there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Also joining with Alex there at in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we have Susan Moriarty, Director of Home Care and Adult Daycare there as well. Susan, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us today. And also joining us today, Leslie Friedel, Administrator of the Pine Valley Skilled Nursing Campus. Leslie, it's great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Alex, share with us a little bit about the history of Lutheran Life Villages in Fort Wayne. How did it get its beginning?
We actually began back in the early 30s in Kendallville, Indiana, which is about an hour north of our Fort Wayne campuses. And it was the Lutheran Old People's Home, and old was, I think, 60 years old at the time. So many would be insulted by that today. But over the years, we have grown considerably. In the mid-60s, a large parcel on the southeast side of Fort Wayne was purchased, and today is our full continuum campus with everything from child care to apartment, independent living, skilled nursing, assisted living, rehab services, memory services, all kinds of different things there. Kendallville in the late 80s then moved to a new campus where they have a skilled nursing campus. In 2012, we opened the Pine Valley campus that Leslie runs. And in 2014, we worked with another organization and merged an adult daycare program that's that targets those with Alzheimer's and merged that into our home care operations. So we've grown over the years, and that covers a large geographic area, but it also covers a lot of different services that we can provide for seniors.
Well, we've certainly come a long way from calling it an old people's home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks so much for sharing about the history of Lutheran Life Villages in Fort Wayne. Let's talk about each of you and how you came to be a part of this and the work that you specifically do there. Now, Alex, how long have you been with Lutheran Life?
I am in my seventh year with the organization, and my background was all kinds of other stuff besides healthcare. So I started out at Motorola and then worked for M&M Mars with candy and then got experience with not-for-profits at Easter Seals. And ended up with the chance to come back to Fort Wayne and got involved with Lutheran Life Villages and have been here since. I started out as a CFO and moved into the CEO role about 3 years ago.
And what have you learned in your time there? What have you learned about the organization or maybe about your work?
But the organization, when I interviewed here, what I knew was what I had learned in grade school and and from family members. You know, we used to come out here and carol for Christmas time and visit, and I had a couple of aunts and uncles that lived here in the apartments and received skilled nursing care here as well. So for me, it has been a steep learning curve, but exciting as well to get to know what we have to do, what we're asked to do by our congregations every year in caring for all of the seniors that we have under our care each day.
Susan, let's talk about your work in home care and adult daycare.
Sure. I have been here for 2 years now, and actually have a background in another nursing facility in town, and then became their regional director of their home health company, and from there was able to move into the home care director position here at Lutheran Life Villages, and really saw a huge need for both in the community and even with some of our residents who are part of the independent living, just some extra help that they would need to get them through their day. And from there, had been here just a couple of months, and we had this opportunity to become a part of the adult daycare, and found that there was a need actually for both, for those that were needing the adult daycare, but that just didn't seem to be enough, so they needed the help at home as well. And then some of our home care clients who needed a little more help than they were getting at home, and so could take advantage of the adult daycare. So it's really been a whirlwind since I've been here. A lot of things have happened, but really a great combination for the two to be together.
Very good. And Leslie, share with us about your work with the Skilled Nursing Campus.
Sure. I have been with Lutheran Life Villages for about 8 years. I started off as a social worker at our Kendallville location, and when we were getting ready to build our skilled nursing campus in the north part of Fort Wayne, I received my administrator's license to open that building, and I've been up there for about 3 years. And most recently, I've been working with looking into what we could do as an organization for memory care and for seniors that have dementia or Alzheimer's.
And that's really one of the topics that is kind of the key focus of our conversations is caring for memory, the mind, even mental health for our older adults. And why is this such an important topic for our older adults, whether it's a full-scale facility where everyone is kept safe, locked in a facility, or whether it's independent living with some assistance, or as we talked about a little bit ago, the adult daycare options. Why is this so important today when it comes to caring for our older adults, when it comes to Alzheimer's or dementia or other memory care and other concerns when it comes to the mind? Well, we can start with Leslie.
Yeah, Andy, you mentioned that mental health is a big concern for older adults, and what we found, or we've read, is that 65% of people living with depression are 65% of the people living with depression will end up with Alzheimer's, and that's a staggering statistic. We also know that one every 67 seconds somebody's being diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So the need for making sure that we're being proactive with mental health in older adults is very important.
So there is a connection between overall mental health and some of the things that we see later in life, such as Alzheimer's or dementia, it sounds like.
Definitely, yes.
How do you go about caring for the overall mental health of older adults, perhaps maybe even offsetting or preventing or delaying the onset of Alzheimer's or other problems?
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think we have to look at how to keep older adults involved in their environment. A lot of times that after retirement, we think it's relaxation and the good life, and I think a lot of the times there's some social isolation and definitely some loneliness that they incur over that period of time. So I think keeping them engaged in their environment, mm-hmm. getting them out and being more active and using their mind, I also think that that's a powerful tool for depression that could eventually help with, you know, slowing down the Alzheimer's disease and dementia.
Who is, and you all can decide out of your group there who wants to answer this, who is most at risk for depression and being isolated? Is it the person who still lives at home by themselves, or is it someone in a care facility? Who is most at risk?
You know, oddly enough, you'd think that it was once somebody lost their independence and had to move into a care facility, but I believe that isolation and loneliness is a major cause of depression, and I think that the people living at home that don't get out and about as often because of their physical state or, you know, several of their friends have maybe passed away, that they just are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they're both at great risk, but I think that that's where the change in depression could, or the help with being proactive with depression and making sure mm-hmm. people are staying active.
Susan, how do you address this in home care and adult daycare?
You know, we see it quite a bit, actually. We will have families that come home at the holidays and suddenly their happy parents or their happy mother or father living by themselves are no longer functioning the way they used to. And so oftentimes our home care is simply going into their homes, if not once a day, a few times a week, so that we can take them to the store, spend some time with them, cook meals for them, not necessarily because they don't have the ability to do that, but more so because they really need that socialization, and we become that socialization for them. We also see that with the adult daycare. The earlier we can bring the individuals in, the more success rate we have with them. And we do a lot of things with bringing different groups in for entertainment for the adult daycare, but we also do things that families are afraid of, whether it's going to the zoo or a baseball game or whatever the case may be. Again, just bringing that socialization to the individuals so that there's something that they can be excited about again.
The zoo, baseball games, all things that many of us enjoy in our earlier years in life. You mentioned that some families are afraid to do that. Why? What's the fear in that?
I think a lot of it is based on what they experience at home. Maybe mom or dad are living with them and they've become a wanderer. It's not necessarily the early stages, but it's getting into the mid to late stages. And they're fearful that if they take them somewhere that they're not going to be able to keep an eye on them. But we have a full staff that's there for that. And what really is amazing to us is that once they get involved in these activities, that any concerns that the family had with the wandering or any behavioral issues, those go away. Mm-hmm. Even if it's for a couple of hours, those are just really put at a standstill and they actually enjoy the moment that's taking place.
Which one is your favorite activity?
Well, I'm a sucker for animals. I like the zoo.
Very good. Very good. So just outings in general, trips to the, like you said, to the zoo or a baseball game, things like that, even for a couple of hours can provide what sounds like some interaction and a change of scenery. Now, what about, are there various stages in perhaps in Alzheimer's or in dementia or other things that affect the mind that leave one frightened when facing going out into the community, that might leave the individual himself or herself frightened about leaving their regular, you know, their home or their regular surroundings?
Absolutely. And there are individuals that we won't take on outings because of that. Mm-hmm. They are much safer staying back on our campus and doing things with the caregivers that have remained back there rather than taking them out again. But still, they're being stimulated there. They're just not mm-hmm. participating in any of the outings.
And what are the things you do? What are some of the activities back at home that you do?
We try to have activities that are related to the individuals that are there. So mm-hmm. we do a gardening club and a baking club. We have a men's club. We have a gentleman that's just really dynamic that works for us, and the men really enjoy coming and spending a day with him. Even when it was March Madness for basketball, they would enjoy the basketball games together and absolutely loved it. It was like having time with family, and that was important to them.
So just having that time to have conversation, it sounds like, is something as simple as that is really helpful.
Absolutely.
Very good. And so that is through the home care and adult daycare. What about for those who live in the, you know, at the skilled nursing campus, Leslie? What are ways that you help help them feel socialized or connected with others?
We also offer a wide variety of engagement programs, different things that they may have enjoyed previous to coming into our community, we have we try to keep them as active and engaged as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We do a bit when they come in initially. We do a lot of research on figuring out what they did enjoy to do, what they currently enjoy doing, and we try to match our programming with what they like to do. But we have music programs, and we have a lot of the same things that Susan mentioned that's happening at Birchwood. We have the same things at our skilled nursing campus.
How does interacting with various generations, you know, an intergenerational approach to some of these activities, does that play a role in either the skilled nursing campus or in the adult daycare or the home care? Susan, we'll start with you.
Sure. Yes, actually, we have we're very fortunate. We have a preschool that is just down the street from our adult daycare. And so we have about four different events that we are lucky enough to have them come into our campus and experience between Christmas and Halloween, Valentine's Day, can't remember the fourth, but I'll tell you what, it is just amazing. The kids absolutely love it. They don't see these people as being any different than their own grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And the individuals that are there, we have some that may normally be individuals that just sit in a chair during the day for a large part, unless they're actively engaged with one of us. But once those kids come in, they just light up. They become different people, and they can carry on conversations with them that they would not normally have an interest in carrying on a conversation with anyone. But these kids just really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think in addition to that, really at two of our other campuses, we also have that benefit. Here on the Anthony campus, we have Children's Village, which is run by Lutheran Social Services here in Fort Wayne and another RSO. That program has been around since 2006, and there's about 100 kids on campus every day, and our independent living residents are interacting with them. They're coming out and interacting with our residents across the levels of care. They're delivering mail, they're singing in the halls, they're doing all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to the staff at Lutheran Social Services, they would probably tell you that interaction is as valuable for the kids as it is for the residents who live on our campus. It just gives that another level of interaction for both sides. And then up at Kendallville, Bright Point, which is another organization here in town, has a child care a Head Start program that operates in the lower level of that campus as well. So they have some of those similar opportunities.
Sure, sure. I just recently came across, and I think I might have shared this with you as well, the study of for grandmas who babysat once a week, that I think it was an Australian study. Grandmothers who babysat once a week had better cognitive functionings than those who didn't have any interaction with kids on a regular basis. Now, this was all in moderation. Of course, the grandmothers who babysat 5 days a week had lower cognitive functioning. So everything in moderation. But it sounds like the opportunities to interact and even care for young children is good for you when you're an older adult.
I think that's absolutely correct. I go back to the group that we have that comes in to see us. In particular, I'm thinking of the event that we had for Halloween. And we had one lady who was just very quiet, but we did some games both with the adults and with the children as well. And she went around to every child before they left to make sure that they got candy, even though we knew they already did. And it was just so unlike her. But the rest of the day and even the following day, she was almost a different person. She was just really euphoric over it. It was really a delightful transformation.
What about, obviously, we've talked about interacting with younger children. Ever thought about interaction with older students as well? I came across a while back a story on it was a care facility in I believe it was Oh, it was somewhere in Scandinavia, if I recall correctly. But college students were given the opportunity, just a few college students were given the opportunity to live on site as well. And in exchange for room and board, they interacted with the residents. And it seemed to be a win-win situation for everybody. The students had the opportunity to learn from the older adults that they lived with there in the community, but also the interaction for the older adults, much like with the young children, just provided motivation, it seemed like, for the older adults. Do you have opportunities for students to, granted, not necessarily live on campus, but for maybe high school or college students to interact with older adults there as well?
Fort Wayne is brimming with Lutherans in our community. So we have lots of schools that are always doing different things. The high school does a lot of volunteering at the campuses. Concordia Lutheran High School here in town, they have a lot of the different groups, whether it's JROTC or it's the different small groups that they have, they're always looking for opportunities to come out and work on different things. So that's certainly a piece. One of the things... Chaplain Wakeland is our called chaplain here for the organization. And when he came on board, one of the things that he wanted to get going again was the vicarage program. And then we've also gotten involved with the deaconess program. And so with both of those, we've been able to not only get them involved in what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, but we've also been able to put them up here in our apartments at Anthony. So, and that's been interesting. The deaconess who is moving out, I think she has moved out at this point, but she had a small child when they arrived. So I think maybe the baby was 3 or 4 months old. And so that was a really interesting interaction with our residents and that family, to support the family. And then she ended up, they're expecting their second now. And so just kind of going through all of that, in residence with us and also supporting us from a pastoral care standpoint has been interesting and a very positive experience. And that's, you know, for the deaconess program and the vicarage program to be able to provide housing, that's also a benefit that is a great thing to be able to provide, mm-hmm. that we can do above and beyond, you know, a compensation type of setup. Beyond that, we've also talked about, and we've seen some similar studies with bringing in students, looking at our local universities and colleges and saying, okay, where can we provide housing for students? So we've begun to look at the nursing schools around town. Okay, how can we get nursing students involved with providing housing on campus? Some of the exercise science and wellness programs, that's also an opportunity. And we've also seen some interesting things about music. So looking around and what music schools might be able to have an internship or something like that, where they actually do live on campus and have a certain component of time being spent either directly involved with programs that we're doing or even developing different types of programs that they see beneficial through their studies.
So that really is very forward thinking. That's great. Congratulations on taking those steps. That's outstanding. I'm sure that would be just a once in a lifetime opportunity for those students as well. With just about a minute or so for each of you, do any of you have any stories from residents that you just really want to share today of a resident or a client that you've worked with that has just made it, maybe made your job all worth it or really exemplifies what Lutheran Life Villages is all about?
You know, for me, every day when I leave, there's usually one or two ladies sitting out at the front desk that are just greeters, and they're residents who live here in our apartments, and they're just visiting with staff or visiting with friends. And you know, over the years that those faces have changed, but that community is always there. And I guess that's what I enjoy about being here every day, is that there's always that community, and it's relationships that are continued from friends outside of our campuses, mm-hmm. where maybe one person has moved in and then their friends have moved in behind them, and they continue their community that they had maybe on the cul-de-sac here in our buildings. or it's from their church. So, you know, the friends from church who didn't see each other except on Sundays or maybe Sundays in Bible studies, now they're living next door or on a different floor from each other. So I guess that's what I see from an independent living standpoint is that interaction and that we're able to provide that. I know we see that in all of our campuses. That's just what I see almost every single day.
Leslie, any stories from residents or clients that stands out for you?
You know, I was just thinking really hard about that question as Alex was talking. And I have been so blessed to be influenced by so many different people in my time. I mean, as a social worker before, I really got to know the residents and their families and learn their stories. And I think that really sold me on this type of career path for me that I really enjoy learning the history of each person and realizing how influential. I mean, at our campus, we've had a gentleman that walked beside Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement, and we've had a man who's Secret Service agent in Iran for several years. I mean, just hearing these stories and realizing what life they've lived has just been so made such an impact on me, and makes me realize how you can look at them as a patient or a resident that's living with us, but to realize that they have a whole life and a whole family that's really made a big influence on them. So,
Susan.
You know, I don't think a day goes by that I don't have a thank you from either a client or a family member. And when we're at the adult daycare and the clients are hugging us, thanking us, and they know that they have that familiar face, but they may not be able to call me by name, I'm okay with that because that hug means that they're content where they are and it's making a difference for them. So I think just in general, knowing that we're making a difference.
Well, thank you all for sharing today your stories of your work and service there at Lutheran Life Villages in Fort Wayne. Mr. Alex Kiefer, CEO of Lutheran Life Villages, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Susan Moriarty, thanks so much. Director of Home Care and Adult Daycare, thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks for having us.
And Leslie Friedel, Administrator of the Pine Valley Skilled Nursing Campus, thanks for being our guest today.
Well, thank you.
We've got more Faith and Family on the way. It's great to continue these conversations. We're going to talk a little bit more about caring for older adults right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
For the first time in 7 years, the birth rate in America has risen. This is cause for celebration because more people are saying no to abortion and yes to life. Experts have long agreed the economy plays an important role in people's decision to have children, but there's more. Dr. Michael New, professor at the University of Michigan, said in part it's due to pro-life education and women resource centers providing alternatives to abortion. New pro-life laws are impacting the numbers of abortion. Add to this, the population is shifting in its stand on abortion. It's a logical response to knowing the truth about abortion. Most of all, Europe is in crisis with dwindling populations. So remember that children are a nation's best renewable resource, and God loves every one of them.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to Facebook.com/KFUO Radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO Radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about care for older adults, especially when it comes to caring for our memory and things like that. So joining us by phone today, Stephanie Lianis, Administrator of Memory Care and Assisted Living at the Lutheran Home in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Stephanie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have this opportunity to talk with you about the Lutheran Home in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Give us, if you would mind, a little bit of history of the Lutheran Home in Wauwatosa.
Sure. The Lutheran Home was established in 1906, so, you know, almost 110 years ago. It was established to provide for retired and impoverished pastors and teachers, so that they could live out the rest of their lives with the care they needed and the dignity that they deserved. We serve people of all faiths, but faith remains an integral part of what we still do today. We also have the Harwood Place, which is an independent senior living community, and that was opened up in 1989, so about 26 years ago. It was a joint venture between Frederick Memorial Lutheran Hospital and the Lutheran Home. Currently, it's just owned by the Lutheran Home. But we have an independent senior living community and also some assisted living services for people to be able to age in place. And, you know, if they need some medical help, that's provided as well.
And so today, let's talk about your work with the organization.
Sure.
What is Administrator of Memory Care and Assisted Living there? What is your work, and how long have you been with the organization?
I've been with the organization almost 6 years. I first started out as the director of the Adult Day Center, which is a program for people who live in the community to come during the day to receive some care, to, you know, be part of activities and social engagement with other seniors. And then about 3.5 years ago, I moved over to the Memory Care Assisted Living, where I am the administrator. I have a social work background, so I wear many hats in this community, and we call it a community. It's not a memory care unit. It's a community. We have, you know, a very home-like atmosphere in our community. A lot of involvement with family members, other people from the community, and our residents lead a pretty active life. I think a lot of people would be surprised at everything that we do in a memory care community.
Let's talk more about that memory care community and what makes up this memory care community. What does a typical day look like in the memory care community?
Well, it's filled with a lot of different choices. So we do what's called resident-centered programming. So they have a choice of several different activities throughout the day. It doesn't mean they have to participate in activities. You know, it could be anything from art, music, just socialization groups, exercise. We have community outings that we do several times a month, intergenerational programming, pet therapy. We offer something for everyone. So pretty busy environment. we provide care to people in the early stages of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, all the way to the late stages of dementia. So we really, our goal is to let people age in place and have purpose and meaning in their lives. We have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges, since you've moved into this position, what are some of the things that you found most challenging about working and serving those with dementia or Alzheimer's?
I think one of the most challenging things is, you know, providing support to families. Not so much providing support, but educating them as to what this disease is all about. A lot of my day consists of working with families to help them cope, to help them understand, you know, how to talk to their loved ones, what to expect with this horribly brutal disease that their loved one has. So I think that's probably one of the most challenging parts of my job anyway, is to really try to get families to understand that, you know, even though this person may have this horrible disease, there's still more of them left than is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically, without sounding cliche, having them realize that the glass is half full, not half empty, and really providing meaningful experiences for families and their loved ones to have together.
Let's walk through the whole a process, I guess, if you will, from, you know, the early stages to maybe the later stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. What does care look like during those early stages, some of the first signs?
Yeah, some of the first signs that people who eventually get diagnosed with this disease are forgetting things. You know, it affects initially your short-term memory and then eventually your long-term memory down the road. So forgetting things, forgetting appointments, memory problems where it's starting to disrupt their daily life. Poor judgment. So wandering, inability to, you know, do their bills anymore. So those are the early stage signs. What happens a lot is families become, you know, in a crisis situation because people with this disease are they can be very clever with trying to hide what's happening to them. So it looks as though one day they just, you know, step off a cliff and they go down really quickly. But what has been happening all along is they've been compensating and they have these little tricks to hide what is truly happening with them. So, you know, in those early stages, they're able to do that. But as they progress to, you know, later, you know, mid-stage, that's where you see the families realize that there's something going on. Sometimes families realize in the earlier stages, but, it's a difficult disease to understand, and it affects everybody differently. So, the early signs, those are, you know, maybe having some word-finding difficulties is also another sign in the early stage.
And then moving on, as things progress,
sure.
As Alzheimer's or dementia progresses, mm-hmm. how do you provide care for those clients?
Well, you know, usually, you know, we get a referral, and I go do a community assessment and just assess whether or not they're appropriate for our environment and that they would be safe here. And then, you know, usually the process takes a couple of weeks or so, and they eventually move in. And we provide support with activities of daily living. So they may need help with bathing, grooming, transferring from bed to wheelchair or just, you know, using a walker, what have you. And we're able to provide care to those individuals We have what's called resident assistants who are CNAs, certified nursing assistants, but they also have specialized training in the field of dementia care.
And then the looking at the, you know, most advanced stages, how can you provide care for them and keep them perhaps connected to others, whether it be family members or others in the community?
Sure. Well, you know, the Lutheran Home has a continuum of care. So, you know, everything, you know, we, you know, starts out with independent senior living community, and, you know, people sometimes go through all the different programs at the Lutheran Home. So they'll start out in independent living, might move to assisted living, might come to memory care assisted living, and then eventually they can move into, if the care becomes too high, because we're considered intermediate level of care in our assisted living. We're not skilled nursing. So if they eventually need more specialized care, or excuse me, more a higher level of care where they're, you know, they might need a Hoyer lift to, you know, to get up into their wheelchair, or they might have more complex other medical problems happening with them, then we're able to transfer people over into the skilled nursing area. So, you know, we do everything that we possibly can to keep them aging in place in the memory care community, but there are times when it's safer for them to move over into the nursing home or skilled nursing facility, which is still on the same campus.
What about interacting with people of different ages? How important is that to the care that you provide?
Oh, it's essential. Our intergenerational programming, you know, it's about bringing children and older adults together to form and build relationships with each other. They learn from each other. You know, exposing children to seniors at a young age, you know, shows them that seniors aren't scary. They develop their emotional intelligence, which then allows them to be more productive adults. And then, you know, the seniors, it gives them purpose. They love to interact with these children that come to our child care center right on campus at the Lutheran Home. So it's not about just, you know, having the kids parade around. It's about hands-on engagement with each other, you know, through art, music, just fun. We have baby therapy. It's amazing to see, you know, especially with people with dementia that live at the Lutheran Home. You know, they might be somewhat withdrawn one day, quiet, you know, not very engaging, but a little one walks by them and you can see their eyes light up, you know, and it's all of a sudden like they're present and they're there with you at the moment. It's magic. And, you know, I often am at a loss for words when I see moments like this. And I see moments like that every time the kids come over, you know, that person is just, is present again, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Everybody needs some baby therapy, right?
Yes.
Especially about diaper time, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's tremendous that you have opportunities like that. Yeah. How has offering intergenerational programming changed things at the Lutheran Home?
Well, you know, I was talking to the director of the Children's Center the other day, and she told me that a lot of the parents, a lot of the families of the children actually choose the Lutheran Home because of the intergenerational relationships and, you know, the relationships with their grand friends. And it just brings about a happiness and a more normalcy. It's more home-like to have little kids running around. You know, it keeps people feeling more young at heart. I'm looking out my window right now in my office, and they're having a water balloon fight out there. You know?
And you're missing out.
I am. But so it's good for the seniors. It's good for families. Everybody learns from each other. And there are some studies that prove that that show that seniors interacting with children helps with their cognitive function too. So there's been some very small studies out there, and I think they're looking into having some larger studies. And it shows that interaction between seniors and children actually helps improve your cognitive ability, as well as maybe prevent, you know, a form of dementia. There needs to be more research, obviously, but because it was a very small, you know, very small studies. But on the flip side of that, it also says that, you know, too much grandparenting is not good either. So you have to find that happy medium.
Right. All in moderation.
Right,
that study on the grandmothers in Australia, quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I shared it with my parents who babysit one day a week as well, and they thought it was
perfect.
Interesting. Yeah, exactly. Now, 5 days a week, totally different story.
Right. We don't want anyone going out there, Mom, you have to babysit 5 days a week. It's good for you. You know, and I mean, I'm sure it's individualized, you know. I mean, maybe it is good for some people,
sure.
But, you know, everything in moderation.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, it sounds like the community that you have there at the Lutheran Home with the intergenerational approach really does make a difference, not only for the members. I love that term, grand friends. That's great. I'll have to remember that, grand friends. But not only for them, but also for the staff as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just the fact that you can look out your window and see the activities going on.
Right. And it's finally a nice day in Wisconsin where they can be out there having a water balloon fight. Yeah.
Exactly. What, as you continue to learn more about this and as science and research continues to help us learn more about this, about Alzheimer's, about dementia, what is important, what is most important to you and to the staff at the Lutheran Home? As, you know, a new study comes out, just like we were talking about this study about grandparents, but as new research comes out, what is most important and what are you looking for? Are you looking for anything in that research that's going to help you in providing care?
Well, research is a worldwide effort right now for Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. It's affecting so many Americans and so many people worldwide, and by 2050, it's going to triple. So, you know, there's nothing, you know, the research is, some of it's subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a early memory loss program, and the research on early memory loss programs, it's a community group that meets a few times a week. You know, it's very subjective, and it's the study of the brain is, there's so much yet to be discovered. I think the most important thing that I want the community to know is that early diagnosis is essential to helping people live longer and more fruitful lives when they do get a diagnosis. So there are some medications out there that definitely can help alleviate some symptoms, you know, but there's nothing yet that prevents Alzheimer's that they know of, nothing that cures it, and nothing that slows it down. So it's really important that people educate themselves. They can educate themselves by going to alz.org and find your local chapter. There's so many things that they offer, not only people with the disease, but their care partners. So, you know, I'm very much into education and fundraising. We have to raise money to help, you know, do more research for this very, what a lot of people refer to as a very brutal disease, you know. So
that's important.
Go ahead.
The relationship between the Lutheran Home and loved ones, family members of those, how important is that relationship between your staff and the family members? How do you foster those relationships?
Right. Well, think about this. You have to place your mom in a community like ours. That first night, you go home, and you have to entrust the care of your loved one to complete strangers, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have already built a relationship somewhat, you know, but still, all these unfamiliar faces, and they're taking care of your loved one. So communication is key, building that trust with the family members to let them know that we do care. This is what we can, you know, we can provide support to you as well. We're going to individualize that plan of care for your loved one. So, I mean, that's a big part of my job every single day, is working with the families to ease their mind, to ease their worries, let them know that we know how to take care of individuals with this disease, that just because they have behavior problems doesn't mean we're going to kick them out. And, you know, these are some of the fears that family members have. So daily, weekly, sometimes daily communication with some of our family members where their loved one might be having a hard time, you know, might have some significant behavioral challenges, or might have, some other medical conditions happening to them. So, you know, I have a full-time registered nurse. We have LPNs. We have an activity professional who's amazing, who, sets up activities where families can actually come along on community outings with their loved one. So we're able to, alleviate some of that stress on the family members and give them opportunities to really engage with their loved one in a safe and positive environment. And I can't tell you how important that is to our families.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To be able to have that relationship and when you go back home and have that confidence that they're being cared for in the way that you hope.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's my daily mission, not only to, provide, our staff and myself to provide good care to the residents, but to take care of our families too.
Sure. Sure. Are there any stories from your residents in your community there at the Lutheran home in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, any stories that really stand out of, maybe a resident, a client, a grand friend, that really just exemplifies what the Lutheran home is all about?
Oh God, there's so many. How do you choose one? I think, I have residents that were living in the community either independently or with their spouse, and for years things just weren't functioning in that household like they should. So, I'll have residents that come in that may not have bathed in a year or more, and are very angry about being here. I have one woman in particular who was exhibiting a lot of behavioral behaviors at home and in the community. Her daughter got her into our community, and that first day, she probably hadn't bathed, because it's a sign of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia where their hygiene decreases sometimes if you don't have a care partner that is able to effectively provide that care. So she came into our community and, just a very wonderfully funny person, but refused any personal care and just was angry about being here. But, there wasn't much we could say or do to convince her to take a spa whirlpool bath. So we do creative things. You have to be creative in a memory care community. So I actually made her a gift certificate, and her daughter had taken her out for the day to go to lunch or something. She had been here 3 or 4 days, and we just couldn't do anything to get her in the tub. So I made a gift certificate that said, dear so-and-so, you are the grand prize winner of a free spa package, and this includes hair and makeup and nails and, value, I think I said, value $150, expires today. So she came back from her community outing with her daughter and saw it hanging on her door in an envelope. And wow, she thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. So she took a bath, we got her hair done and her nails, and I was involved, the nurse manager was involved, everybody just made, I had a staff come with a towel over her arm and said, "Are you ready?" So creative things like that. Now she always takes her bath. She, doesn't refuse care. She's got a whole new level of independence. She has a better relationship with her husband, a better relationship with her grandkids, and it just alleviates a lot of that stress by living in the community without the support that they need. And that's where we come in.
That's great. The Lutheran Home in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, Stephanie Leanis, Administrator of Memory Care and Assisted Living there. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me.
It was a privilege to get to talk with you today. God's blessings on your service there.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO. We're going to study God's Word.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.